Welcome into ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. And a little bit of blinding lights, and it's going to be an all-weekend music day because I don't know if y'all have heard. It's the Super Bowl today. And I'm excited. I guess the Super Bowl is one of the sporting events that I feel like very few sporting events are truly like glitz and glamour for the mainstream. Like sports is very much in a lot of ways, like either you're a sports fan or you just aren't sports at all. And I know there are casual fans. You'll go to that one person that's like, oh yeah, like the Lakers, you know, Kobe was really cool back in the day. And that's kind of it. You have casual people, but they probably don't really watch sports. They probably don't really follow it. And this is really the only sporting event that I truly think. You give me a call, 381-1313. That's 381-1313 to talk everything Super Bowl. I think that you have like the NBA Finals. And I thought the NBA Finals were really cool during the Warriors-Cavaliers run where they had like Kendrick Lamar was the face of one of the series. J. Cole was the face of one of the series when Kevin Durant got there. There was like Rihanna and Beyonce and all these celebrities. And it was close to transcendent, but not really. Not really to the mainstream like the Super Bowl is. There are people that won't watch another sporting event all year that watch the Super Bowl today. And I don't know. There's something about that that kind of, it doesn't rub me the wrong way at all. Anybody that wants to watch football, anybody who wants to watch the weekend concert, whatever you want to call it, fine with me. I just prefer, like, I prefer championship weekend. The winner of the AFC and NFC championship games, the season could, for me, could stop there and I'd be fine. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to enjoy this game. I will give my prediction at the end. I will say that the Super Bowl has produced a number of very entertaining games. And I really hate the boo-hooing by those that complain about the Super Bowl like they did with the Rams-Patriots Super Bowl. Now, I feel like I'm allowed to complain, and I feel like anybody that listens to this show or sports talk in general, like if you like sports that much, you probably have a pretty good opinion on what a good game is. So, like, I would say the games that I've enjoyed the least, I mean, there was the New York Patriots 2, and I know that came down to, you know, the last play of the game. I didn't particularly enjoy it. There was Denver-Seattle, Denver-Carolina. Those games weren't very good. Seattle-Pittsburgh is the first Super Bowl I ever watched with Matt Hasselbeck, Sean Alexander, Ben Roethlisberger. That Super Bowl wasn't particularly good, even though it was the first one I watched. I still remember where I watched it. Out here, it was out here in Lexington with my papa. We watched over, I forgot what the restaurant's called, but they had a really good like cordon bleu sandwich. But, it, you know, either here or there. Give me a call, 381-1313, 381-1313. I'll talk a little bit more about the Super Bowl here in about, I don't know, in a couple of minutes. But I have to get to this UK game first. Kentucky ended up losing 82-71 to the Volunteers. At one point in the game, Kentucky led at the 12-minute mark in the second half by double digits. Kentucky was up 58-48. And then, in the last 12 minutes of the game, they suffered a 21-point swing. They were minus 21 in the last 12 minutes of the game. The game was close, 64. I mean, we're getting down to about 6 minutes left. It's still a relatively close game. And then it completely goes off the rails. I mean, it's like with 7 minutes left, it was tied 64-64 with 6.5 to go. So in that 6.5, you get beat by 11. Got my first call of the morning. Caller, what's your name?
Jim from Frankfort.
Oh, Jim. How do you feel this morning compared to last night?
Well, I have gained some acceptance because there's nothing I can do about it. I think that the definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing and expect a different result.
Mm-hmm.
And it would appear to me this team has a bit of insanity going on with it. I think in a lot of ways, I think the coaching staff's failed this team. Mm-hmm. Because when they realized it wasn't working, they didn't change things up when they had the opportunity. And you know, if you consider the amount of times that it has worked this season, which is, what, 5 maybe? Actually, not even 5. In close games, the only close game I can remember is when Mintz hit the last second shot. I think it was against Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, close games last 6-7 minutes of the game, we have failed miserably.
I mean, it's been collapses. And it's not even, and you can tell that it's strictly mental because during the entire game, I mean, Kentucky looked like 2019 Kentucky. They were out there. It looked like that they had the game in control. Keon Brooks was destroying pawns. Everything was, I mean, Askew was playing. Everything looked like it had some synergy to it, but it's almost like a mental thing where it's just this cyclical, oh crap, it's the last, you know, 4 minutes, last 5 minutes of the game. Let's just forget how to score the ball and play defense. It's unbelievable, Jim.
Yeah, we also started running that circle play up around the top of the key that has not worked the entire year.
It's like when Eddie Grant couldn't stop running the Wildcat a couple years ago, and it was like, Eddie, stop. Like, it's not working. Stop running it. And he refused to stop. That's what that reminds me of.
And what is Eddie Grant? Eddie Grant right now is a dinosaur. He's extinct.
He gone.
He gone. I do not want Calipari gone. I think Calipari can learn a lot. Gosh, it pains me to say this.
Mm-hmm.
He could learn the lesson from Nick Saban. You know, the reason Nick Saban stayed on top for as long as he has, other than the fact that Alabama, I'm sure, is cheating like a dog. they're getting all the best players, but he also adapted as the game changes.
Yeah, he not only adapted. I mean, he surrounded himself with. I mean, there's probably, and I mean this wholeheartedly. There is more coaching talent on Alabama's coaching staff than any one NFL staff. I mean,
there has been for the last 8 years.
Yes.
I mean, they just keep cycling them right through.
Yeah,
you look at our basketball staff. Nearly everyone is a failed head coach. Nearly everyone.
Yeah,
and there's a reason for, you know, when you surround yourself with failure, then you doom yourself to failure.
Yeah.
I would be tempted if I was Calipari to hand the reins over for a game just to see how it goes to Barbie or.
Oh, I've said that. I said that either it was last week or 2 weeks ago. I said he needed to step aside. He doesn't know how to coach this team. He doesn't know how to talk to these players. Apparently, I mean, and the kids still play hard, but I can't get it out of my mind that the guy wouldn't play Dante Allen. It took him getting kicked out of a game to get Bruiser Flint to put Dante in. And then now Dante Allen is, like, neutered. I mean, it's to the point where he's, like, Cal has told him, if you don't shoot as soon as you touch the ball, you're not playing. And that's not a healthy way to develop a player. And he knows how to play basketball. He is a good basketball player. He knows how to play. Why are you forcing him to become something? He was pretty good before you got his hands on him. I can't stand it. Jim, thank you for the call. I'm what Cal has done to this team and what he's done to some of these players, Cameron Fletcher, the Terrence Clark situation, Dante, everything is just, it hurts me, and I don't
it's
like
beyond,
it.
It's beyond frustrating.
Yes, it is.
I mean, I'm sticking with the team. The fact is, he's got a lifetime contract.
Yes, he does.
Think about that.
Yeah, he does.
And it costs like $52.4 million to buy him out.
Well, I guess we're not buying him out. Jim, thank you for the call this morning, man. I appreciate you as always. Give me a call, 381-1313. That's 381-1313. Got another call coming through. Caller, what's your name?
This is Sean.
Sean.
What's going on?
Oh, just rehashing this wonderful UK-Tennessee basketball game.
I almost don't have the words this morning.
That's what, you know what? I thought on my way coming in here, I almost turned around and went home because I was like, I can't come on the radio, which is my job, and say, I don't know what to say because that's the way I feel.
No, it really doesn't have that vibe. Like, what do you say?
What are you supposed to do?
But Jim kind of got me there. Like, and I was thinking about this last night. As I was looking at Boston come out of the game. He was arguing with Barbie. And I'm like, okay, it's Kentucky. Like I said, Jim already touched on this, sorry, but it was my intention.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I mean, isn't there like that hot shot recruiting guys that we can just go get because we're good? I mean, this, what's his name, Bruiser Flint,
yeah,
to Coach Drexel and Tony Barbie. I mean, I think it's time for a shakeup.
Yeah.
And I know Joel Justice was the lead recruiter on Sky Clark. That sounds legit. I'm sure Jay Lucas is doing his thing. But I just feel like our staff doesn't match who we are. Does that make sense?
No, I mean, like, think about it. With Alabama, I mean, it's almost too grotesque. I mean, like, Bill O'Brien, who was a multiple double-digit winning NFL head coach, is just sitting, like, in an assistant role there, and they get this guy, that guy, all these. I get what you're saying, though. Why can't Kentucky have a staff where you look down the line? I mean, like, but think about it. We do say that, Sean, but Orlando Antigua wasn't really much, to be honest, like after he left here, and Kenny Payne is great in his right, but he was no Dean Smith, and you had, you know, the best 5 years, you know, of recent history in any college program. So, I mean, what do you think about, like, why did it work in the past where we didn't need these superstar assistants, and now everything's kind of pointing to how do we fix it, and that's where your head goes?
I don't know. I mean, you know what? I don't even – there's probably not enough time, but, I mean, Orlando is Orlando. I don't even really want to go there. And, you know, when the NCAA made World Wide West not be a street agent anymore, the timeline does kind of match up. But that's all – I'm not going to try to get into all that. We don't have enough time.
I like,
but you know what I'm referring to. You know,
I like that one. I like where you're going. And where is World Wide West?
The Knicks, right?
Where's Kenny Payne?
I mean, the timeline matches up.
Yeah,
I mean,
it wears half
I'm
of
sorry,
the.
Nobody went. I'm not gonna. Okay, I'm just saying. Orlando went down to Florida, got in trouble. If Illinois is on probation in a couple years, I'm gonna just stop with that. You know what I mean? I'm not saying he was a bag man from Anthony Davis, but I didn't say he wasn't.
Hey, you know what? We all have our conspiracy theories, and they are all.
And that one, I want to stress that one definitely is. That's definitely a hardcore conspiracy. I don't, you know, I just that's
I know.
Just fun to say.
I know. I think this team is pretty much. I mean, unless they win the SEC tournament, but you know, unless I become, you know, a 30-minute player on the team, you know, it's never going to happen. I don't really know what's the use. Here's kind of what bothers me. If UK football started off 0-5, 0-6, it's on the basketball season, and they just stop talking about them, press stops writing about them, it becomes such an afterthought. When does this team become an afterthought where we can just stop talking about it? Is there a point that we can reach to that, or is it always going to be on everybody's mind until the last, you know, second ticks off in the season?
Oh, I think a little just because there's no overlap where football ends up having to put up with basketball. I mean,
yeah.
What does basketball put up with? The start, like UK playing Morehead State out the baseball stadium in 10-degree weather. You know,
I was going to say, hey, we got baseball season, you know. Let's see if Mingione can turn it around.
They were horrible a couple years ago, but well, maybe they're better now.
that's crazy. That team was so – it had so much buzz, and then, like, something happened and players started leaving and saying stuff, and it just – it has not gone.
Yeah, no, they were, but the last full season, not like the 10 games they played last year. If you remember, they were awful. Like, it came out of nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, go.
I don't know,
go,
man. I'm going to say, is it okay to make a Super Bowl
prediction? Yeah, make a Super Bowl prediction. Let's go.
I'm probably the last guy to even ask, but I'll say Bucks by three. That's all I got.
Bucks by three. All right, thanks, Sean. Bucks by three. Give me your Super Bowl prediction. 381-1313. That's 381-1313. I'm going to step aside for a second when I come back around the bend. Talk about Super Bowl, NFL awards, Hall of Fame class, everything that involves the NFL is pretty much from here on out. Unless you want to call and talk about the basketball game, feel free. But it's just more of a vent, and you can feel free to vent. But that's all it is at this point. All right, Angelo Carriero, ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, and streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. Angelo Carriero, ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. Give me a call at 381-1313. That's 381-1313. Like I said, weekend all morning, I saw a post on Facebook where it was Chris Jericho, the AEW wrestler. He posted something about the weekend, never heard of him. Iron Maiden should be doing the concert, like around those lines. Man, y'all, if you've never heard The Weeknd or have seen The Weeknd, that guy is a super duper star. Now, my little cousin, she doesn't think as highly of The Weeknd as I do, and she's pretty into pop music, but The Weeknd is like, he brought R&B back a little bit. I'm not gonna lie. He's kind of that superstar of this decade with R&B. He spent a lot of money on the performance. It is going to be, in my opinion, I think it's going to be absolutely epic. So the halftime is going to be worth watching this year. I'm like, I don't know. Adam Levine wasn't my cup of tea. But Lady Gaga, I thought Lady Gaga's was awesome. I thought Lady Gaga had the best performance that I had seen in years. I also really enjoyed Bruno Mars whenever he does his stuff. Like, whenever Bruno Mars is at, I think every year he should just pop in like a Where's Waldo. Like, he's just there somewhere where he gets on for a couple seconds and all. I just love seeing Bruno Mars on the halftime show. But anyways, give me a call, 381-1313, 381-1313, talking about Super Bowl. Here in a little bit, I'm going to talk about the NFL awards and the Hall of Fame, because the Hall of Famers were announced last night, as well as the winner of the of all of the key awards. So I'll get to those momentarily. I wanted to kick off Super Bowl conversation, though, and with all of your thoughts of the game and what are you doing? Favorite halftime acts? Who you think the Super Bowl MVP is going to be? What are the legacy implications for Brady and Mahomes? Or however you want to do it. I think that if anybody that's listened to my show, anybody that follows me, anybody that talks to me, it's clear, and you can follow me at Angelo Media Lex. That's Angelo Media Lex on Twitter. You can follow me there. You kind of know where I'm going to go in this game. I think that Kansas City, the way that they started the season against Houston in the first game, Thursday Night Football, to kick off the 2020 NFL season, from that game, I thought, man, there is not a better team in football than this one. I hadn't even seen the other ones. It's like, this is the best team. And it was the best team that I've seen probably since, oh, I would say that Chiefs team that I saw is the best team I saw since probably the 2017 Eagles. I think that sounds right. That 2017 Eagles team was pretty thoroughly dominantly good. And this Chiefs team's probably better. I've never seen an offense with this quick strike ability. And that is the major difference between them and any other team that I felt so confident about, because this team can come out of nowhere. I mean, we've had great offenses. We've had the 2013 Broncos, the 2011 Packers, the 2016 Falcons was a great, great offense. We have had historically great offenses over the last decade. And as good as they were, I felt like that they're four-quarter offenses, that they can pile it on you, and in that accumulation, that is where it's going to be. It's just going to be, you're going to keep throwing straw until it breaks the camel's back. It's kind of what I mean by those offenses. Kansas City can score 28 and a quarter. Like that. It is unlike any offense that we've really seen. And a big deal and a big part of that is how they've constructed this offense around Patrick Mahomes. And now I have a lot of thoughts on this. The first one is just because the reason why this quick strike ability works so well is because I truly think that Tyreek Hill is the best offensive player in football. He, at least skill position wise, at least skill position, running back, wide receiver, tight end, he is the best skill player in all football. And I argued with someone on Facebook, because that's what you're supposed to do on Facebook, is argue with strangers. It's a cesspool indeed. But I was arguing with someone because I said that Colin Cowherd had ranked his top 10 players in the Super Bowl, and I have my, you know, top 10. But number one, to me, is clear, and you can argue the rest. Tyreek Hill is the best player in this game. And that will bother a lot of people. Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league. Tom Brady's the GOAT. Some people, Travis Kelce is a great player in his own right. That offense does not work without Tyreek Hill. Because the whole predication of defending that offense is because Tyreek Hill is the best speed receiver in history. There's never been a player that was 5'8 with his classification, 5'8 speed guy, that was as demonstratively productive as Tyreek Hill is. Tyreek Hill's ability to score on every single play, it's simply amazing to me. I've never seen a player quite like his ability that any play in a game, he could score. Tampa Bay, back in, what was it, week 14? Could be a little off on that. They played, and Tampa Bay decided, you know what we're going to do? We are going to play a traditional defensive back scheme against Tyreek. We don't think that he's the boogeyman. We don't think that he's as special as everybody thinks, because the reason why Kansas City offense works so well is because his gravity is so great that they take these other pretty fast receivers. I mean, and on other teams, they'd be the fastest, but on this, they're only second or third. But you take guys like Mecole Hardman, and you take guys like DeMarcus Robinson, and with that gravity that Tyreek Hill encompasses, you put their speed in that space and allow them to make plays after the catch. They decided, you know what? We're not going to let you do that. Tyreek can beat us. Tyreek Hill put up 200 yards and 2 touchdowns in the first quarter. Until they were absolutely forced to go, all right, we've had enough. We'll guard him. All right, you win. And that, my friends, is just one of many examples. The best football play I've seen, and there are tons of plays that you can go to But the best football play that I've seen by a wide receiver with the ball in his hands, and you could say, oh, you know, in the last, let's say, half decade, you'd say, oh, okay, yeah, the Buffalo game with Tyreek Hill. Or was it the Super Bowl with Tyreek Hill? Or was it this? No, mine was, there was a play against Dallas back the year before Mahomes. So I want to say that was 2017. They had a Hail Mary situation. They dropped it off to Tyreek Hill about 40 yards away from the end zone. He had 3 blockers, 7 defenders, all within the 10-yard line of the end zone. And Tyreek Hill got through the entire 7-man defense to get into the end zone. Without Tyreek Hill's threat of being the guy he is, Patrick Mahomes isn't the guy that he is. He's not. Patrick Mahomes is young Brett Favre, and that player, historically great. Patrick Mahomes, historically great. But the reason he is able to look as good as he does is because of Hill. If he didn't have Hill, he can have Kelce. You can keep Kelce, keep Watkins, keep Hardman, keep Edwards-Helaire, keep all those guys. Keep them. They are not the same. And he is not the same because of what Tyreek Hill does to defenses and makes them play. Patrick Mahomes is a lot like, and this is my cross-sport comparison, Patrick Mahomes is a lot like Steph Curry to me. Patrick Mahomes is the Steph Curry of the NFL. What Steph was to the NBA in 2013, 2014, 15, 16, that's what Patrick Mahomes is to the NFL right now. We had never seen a three-point shooter quite like Steph Curry. And we have never seen, and I you know, protest because when we get to the NFL awards, there was a guy that really talented, reminds me a lot of Patrick Mahomes, that just won his third MVP, so calm down on that. But you could say that in the terms of flash, arm strength, and just wizardry, because there's not really other adjectives to describe it, Patrick Mahomes is, you know, a revelation. He is a prodigy and all that. But the thing about Steph Curry, and people have made this point before, and I actually kind of adopted it because I like it. Steph Curry's a ceiling raiser, okay? He's a guy that you put on a pretty good team, and he makes him the best offense in the league. But you put him on a bad team, and it's kind of a one-man yo-yo, essentially. Just bouncing the ball, trying to get open, shooting threes, all of that. It's fine. But it's when he has a special kind of when he has a good supporting group, when he has a great one, when it fits his talents, like Klay Thompson, like Draymond Green, like Kevin Durant, then that team becomes legendary, like those Warriors teams were. Patrick Mahomes, to me, is in the same vein. Because Tyreek Hill does what he does, and Travis Kelce is as good as he is, Patrick Mahomes gets to be the best version of Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes will never be better than he is right now, okay? Unless he somehow gets DK Metcalf and Justin Jefferson on the team in 6 years from now, like Tom Brady did in New England back in 07, unless he gets his Randy Moss and Wes Welker, this is as good as Patrick Mahomes is ever going to be. But man, is that a special kind of good that he is with this team. 381-1313, that's 381-1313. You can give me a call here today. I only got about, don't have a ton of time left, so give me a call now. When I come back, I'm going to do a little bit on the Hall of Fame, a little bit about the NFL awards, and then towards the end, I'm going to get a little deeper into the game and give my prediction. This is Angelo Carriero on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, and streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. We'll be right back. Back here on ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. Angelo Carriero with you. And don't forget, you can always follow me on Twitter at Angelo Media Lex for all of my thoughts and scheduling things too, like varsity game night. We had varsity game night on Thursday this week, and it's good to follow because we had a very exciting game, a huge upset by the Henry Clay Blue Devils over the Somerset Briar Jumpers with two of the best players, you know, in the state, in my opinion. You know, Cade Grundy, first player in Somerset history to have 2,000 points, and then this kid Stevens that they have, a junior, he looks like Tyler Hero all over again. It's awesome. But let's set the record straight for a second. I get so much pushback on my Tyreek Hill takes, and I'm just done taking it. I truly am. I'm like, my boy Ryan hit me up over the break and said, "You crazy for my Tyreek Hill take?" Why is it that I'm crazy? Because Tyreek Hill's done since he's been in the league. Okay, 5 years, 5 Pro Bowls. 3 first-team All-Pros. Now, granted, one of those years was as a returner in his rookie year, but bless, I mean, the guy was the best returner in the league. I mean, he came in as a rookie and was the absolute best at what he did, and then he grows into this receiver that, to me, is the absolute best at who he did. I mean, think about it this way. Tyreek Hill had 100 touches on offense this year. He led the league in yards per touch, and he had 17 total touchdowns in, how many games did he play? 15 games. So he was averaging more than a touchdown a game and leading the league out of every offensive player in football. When I say he is the best skill player in football, he got more yards every time he touched the ball than every other skill player in the league. I'm not making this up out of thin air that Tyreek Hill is as good as advertised. He is the best receiver, best skill player, whatever you want to call it, in the league. It's arguable, sure, but when you take into the fact what he does to manipulate defenses for his team because of that speed, to me it's not. But people don't want to believe me about Tyreek Hill. Hey, you know when your precious Patrick Mahomes won that Super Bowl MVP? Yeah, he threw up a pop ball. We used to call it a jackpot in the backyard. Just throw the ball up and, you know, everybody would go up and jump for it. He has the ability every time, like I said, to touch the ball and score at will. Like I said, 17 touchdowns. What everybody says about Patrick Mahomes and why he is so prolific, that play, he threw the ball up in the air, and it just so happened that Tyreek Hill didn't have a defender within 5 yards of him on that play. It's an iconic play. Super Bowl play, in my opinion. Patrick Mahomes is backpedaling in the pocket, and he throws it, you know, 45 yards up in the air. But what people don't seem to think is that there was no one around Tyreek because he is absolutely unguardable. Because he just so happened that he's so fast, he's like the Roadrunner, like beep, beep, boom. And he's just wherever he wants to be. And he just so happened that he shook his cornerback so bad that if he was, you know, he left him back at Arrowhead. So I'm happy to argue it just simply because I feel like that I am absolutely right about this one. But like I said, yards per touch, he led the NFL 2018, led it in 2020, 17 touchdowns this year, only had one fumble in the last 3 years. The guy's an absolute, I mean, he's absolute chaos. NFL awards. Last night, my precious Aaron Rodgers, my guy, my favorite player of all time, won his third MVP. probably could have, should have been Patrick Mahomes. But Patrick Mahomes, you know, Aaron had Devontae. Mahomes has Tyreek. Mahomes has Travis Kelce. Rodgers has Big Bob Tonyan. But I think that both were deserving. I just thought that the Green Bay is guided by Aaron Rodgers. But as we saw, they were a top four team, but they weren't a top two, top one team this year. The Packers weren't. This Chiefs team's one of the best teams I've seen, and I finally thought about it, and I was like, as good as I think Tyreek is, as good as I think Kelce is, and my point still stands, you know, that Mahomes is a ceiling raiser, but Steph Curry is great regardless. Patrick Mahomes is great regardless. You throw Kyle Lowry on those Warrior teams, and they're not the same. Kyle Lowry is a very good basketball player. They're not the same. That's the same with Patrick Mahomes. As much as I do think that without Hill, Pat's not Pat, that whole entire offense isn't the same if Pat's not Pat. You can't just throw Kirk Cousins or Matt Stafford on that team and it's still the best team in the league. So I think that Mahomes probably should have won it. Okay? I'll say that. But Aaron Rodgers was completely deserving, and I'd love to see him get the accolades. I hope in time we remember him as great as I think of him. Offensive player of the year, Derrick Henry. You're a 2,000-yard rusher, a guy that I've advocated for so long. It's kind of like I pushed all my chips in, and they're finally coming up. Aaron Donald won defensive player of the year. Look, a lot of Steeler fans are upset it wasn't J.J. Watt. The statistics all pointed to J.J. Watt. Only played 15 games. He was a great pass rusher. Aaron Donald is a lot like the Tyreek Hill effect. I can show you a bunch of stats that say that Devontae Adams is better than Tyreek Hill, or that DeAndre Hopkins is better, or whoever else you want to throw out there that's better. Stephon Diggs, a perfect example. That, oh, these stats are more cumulative. He's better than Tyreek Hill. Aaron Donald, by all accounts, is the best defensive player of our generation. And J.J. Watt was super special. I mean, it's him and Watt. But Aaron Donald is putting up a career that's going to go down as one of the 10 best defensive careers of all time. And if he gets this accolade because you watch the film and you say this guy is the beast of the West, he's the best defensive player in the league, that's fine. I'm fine with it. Offensive Rookie of the Year, Justin Herbert. Don't think everybody had that before the year. Defensive Rookie of the Year, everybody had this before the year. Chase Young. Coach of the Year, Kevin Stefanski. Can't be mad at it. He's a really good coach. He really is. Comeback Player of the Year, Alex Smith. And Aaron Rodgers is now only the seventh player ever to win three or more MVPs. The ones with three MVPs? Because I couldn't think. I was like, I got three or four of them down, but I couldn't get the others. Johnny Unitas and Jim Brown won three. It was Tom Brady has three. Aaron Rodgers now has three. Brett Favre won three in a row. That's why I always compare him to Patrick Mahomes. All these guys had three, but not as good as who I believe accolades all saying and agreeing with me on this, that I believe is the best quarterback to ever play. Even above my favorite player, my quarterback of, you know, that my first NFL draft. Y'all know I love the NFL draft. First one I ever watched, Packers drafted Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I have been in this game step for step. Peyton Manning is still the best quarterback I've ever seen. He is still the best quarterback of all time. Tom Brady's the GOAT. Peyton Manning's the boat. He is. I mean, all the accolades. He's seven first-team All-Pros, most in NFL history. Five MVP awards, most in NFL history. Just an absolute record setter every step of the way. He was a first ballot Hall of Famer last night. And if there was something above first ballot, Peyton Manning deserves it. I think I have a game with a buddy of mine where we drafted NFL teams. We had NFL teams, and we drafted the all-time and just created teams, just like a little fantasy exercise. My number one overall pick, Peyton Manning. Because I think out of every player in NFL history, I think that Peyton Manning, for the length of his career, whatever you want to say, I think every game he gave you the biggest poker chip in the game was Peyton Manning. So congratulations to him. And as I get on, I mean, this was a really special NFL night for me. It was the first time that it was all in my face like this. My favorite players now and of the past. I mean, I had my favorite player of all time, who's 38, winning his third MVP, and then my favorite receiver of all time, who's like 30, he's younger than Aaron Rodgers, making the Hall of Fame. It's just so strange. And Calvin Johnson made it to the Hall of Fame, first ballot Hall of Famer. He's the best receiver I've ever seen. I watched Terrell Owens. I watched 07 Randy Moss. I've watched Julio Jones in 2016. I've watched Tyreek Hill. And Tyreek Hill's making his case. Calvin Johnson's the best receiver I've ever seen. I think he is a legendary player. I hope that in history people don't go up on Pro Football Reference and go, oh, he didn't, you know, it's weird. He didn't have a lot of these, you know, seasons that these other guys did. He didn't make all these all pros or touchdown, blah, 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 blah. Does not matter. You turn on that, and it's like watching, I mean, watching Calvin Johnson highlights now is like, to me, watching Walter Payton highlights from like 1977. I go back, and even though it was in my lifetime, I go back, and I'm like, you could put it in black and white and be like, the legends of the game, Calvin Johnson. You could do something like that, and I would just be, I'd lose it. He is the best receiver. He totally deserved it. I'm very, very happy. It's just Peyton, Rodgers, Calvin is just so big for me as a football fan in my life. Charles Woodson, the defensive player of the year. The Packers won the Super Bowl. One of the best Packers defenders of the last 20 years. He made it. Love Charles Woodson. Happy for him. John Lynch, Alan Faneca, Drew Pearson, who I'm really glad made it. I don't know why. I just felt bad for him with how upset he was. He wasn't making the Hall of Fame. So he got in. And Tom Flores, who I did not know this, best winning percentage in the playoffs all time in NFL history. And Bill Nunn. I got to run for just a second, and when we come back, we will have my Super Bowl prediction. ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. Angelo Carriero. Angelo Carriero back here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. I am cheesing. I'm almost more excited for the weekend's concert at halftime than the game. Being a little facetious, but man, I'm listening to this music. I don't listen to the weekend all the time, but when I put on some of the hits, man, I just remember like, oh yeah, this guy's just incredible. Like, he just makes incredible music. Super excited for that. But it's time for my prediction. I think I've set it all up pretty clearly. I think that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they have great players, especially on offense and defensively. With Eric Fisher out, just depending on the health of the offensive line in general throughout that game, going to Ndamukong Suh, Vita Vea, and Jason Pierre-Paul, and Shaquille Barrett. Like, I mean, as a Packers fan, I saw what that was last week. It's scary. It's intimidating. It is not fun. I think that the linebackers and defensive backs, they are young, they are hungry, and that works versus teams like the Packers. The Packers are very vanilla, and you get that spice in there, and it messes everything up. I think that was a big reason that Tampa was favored, in my opinion, over Green Bay. But against this defense, or against this offense of Kansas City, that over-aggressiveness, that youthful, chirpy dog, I think they're going to get exposed because of that over-aggressiveness. I think the speed and the scheming by Andy Reid and this Chiefs offense, obviously, I think it is going to be too much. I do not think that Tom Brady and Mike Evans and Godwin, Antonio Brown, all those guys, as great as that skill cast is, I don't think that they can score at the explosive rate that Kansas City can. I don't not believe in Tom Brady when it comes to the Super Bowl, believe me. I just think that Kansas City is the spark. I said on this radio wave, I said on my show that the Chiefs would go undefeated this season. They'd go 19-0. They lost to the Raiders that day, made me look foolish. Every game that Patrick Mahomes has started, they lost week 17, but they didn't have any of their offensive starters. every game Patrick Mahomes has started since the day that I made that proclamation. They lost to the Raiders. They have won every game. I do not expect that to stop tonight. We are seeing one of the greatest offenses and inherently one of the best teams, I mean, we've ever seen. This may be the greatest offense in NFL history. All right, thank you all for listening today. I hope you appreciate it. I hope you loved the weekend. I hope you your weekend, the weekend. I hope you enjoy everything there is out, and just have a good weekend and have a good Super Bowl. Angelo Carriero, ESPN Sports Radio, 1300 and 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. And she'll never know that these eyes that I'm staring